What a unique time in the Jewish world. Passover is upon us. Israel in the midst of the coronavirus epidemic. What is God saying and doing?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, welcome to The Line of Fire. A bit of a technical issue with the studio, but hopefully all is well and you can hear me loudly and clearly. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Any Jewish-related questions, we're very happy to speak with you, answer all Jewish-related questions, 866-348-7884. Passover will be April 8th through 16th, Resurrection Sunday, April 12th. So here, Christians will be celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus right in the midst of the Passover season, which is the way it should be. Originally, it was one holiday. The Messiah dies and rises in the midst of Passover. But this year, with the world in upheaval, this will be an even more significant time. Traditional Jews, when they gather for Passover, or any Jews that gather and do a Passover Seder, go through the ceremony and ritual, will ask, why is this night different from all other nights? And on all of the nights we do this, but on this night we do this. Well, this Passover looks to be different than all other Passovers up to now. So a whole lot going on in the Jewish world. We want to focus on it today. 866-34-TRUTH for Jewish-related questions. Okay, let's start in Israel. Ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel are being infected at a higher rate than the rest of the population, and there are more casualties or potential casualties among them. So even though the ultra-Orthodox make up maybe 12% of the population as a whole, they are 40 to 50% of the cases that are being reported. The New York Times has a whole article on this. A number of websites, both secular and religious, have articles talking about what's going on. Why are so many religious Jews dying? Why are so many religious Jews getting infected in Israel? There are several answers to the question. One is the very obvious that they have large families and live very closely together in smaller communities. And there is constant public gathering. The men are gathering every day for prayer several times a day, for study through the day and through the night. It is a communally celebrated, communally led, and communally experienced faith. So religious Jews are together a whole lot, large communities in small areas. So that is a hotbed for infection, very, very obviously so. And because in Judaism, praying together, asking God together, studying together is a foundational value. The idea of you just kind of get alone in your home and you meet with God, well, it's not that you can't pray in your home, it's not that you can't study in your home, but doing it together is part of the very fabric of the religion. So the traditional communities will be a little slower to abide by the guidelines of the government. And even before the government had the guidelines put out, there were so many people in such close proximity, it makes it very, very easy for infection to spread. So that's one reason that a much higher percentage of traditional Jews, ultra-Orthodox Jews in particular, are being infected in Israel. There's a second reason, which is that some of the communities, a minority within them, remain tremendously hostile to the government and do not trust the government, and have sentiments that go back decades in terms of feeling that the government is secular and the government is against them. There are some groups that don't even receive government benefits for the most part because they don't recognize the legitimacy of the government because it is, in their view, a secular state. So they are going to be less inclined to go along with bans on public gathering. They would just look at this as the government trying to restrict. So you have the issues, just like a church in America says, we're going to go on and meet. You're not going to stop us from meeting. It is something similar in this case, something similar where they're saying, well, we're still going to pray. We're still going to study. So that has really upped the ante. These factors, A, being so many in small areas, living in close proximity, B, some of the leaders being resistant to the government regulations and saying, no, we're going to go on with our study. We're going to go on with our prayer. You can't stop us from doing this. Looking at the government as being inconsistent and you're allowing this to happen there and not this to happen there, which may or may not be true. So because of this, there's even more happening in terms of sickness, infection, death. To me, again, another opportunity to pray for God's intervention. Because traditional Jews, as devout as they are still human beings. And there could be more fear. And there could be more questions. And there could be more people looking deep. And I'll give you an example, though, of an ultra-Orthodox Jewish attitude, okay? I was interacting with a rabbi in Brooklyn the other day. Ultra-Orthodox rabbi in Brooklyn. And we were going back and forth in terms of, you know, are you safe? And what's going on? He's asking me what's going on. And I said to him, what's happening in your community? Are people dying? And he said, yes, the community is large and close, right? So many people living in close proximity, infection, spreading the disease is much easier. And then I wrote back and I said, understood, may God be gracious. And he said, now this is an ultra-Orthodox rabbi. He said, he always has been. We do not know exactly what God's purpose is. Look at Daniel. Even when he had revealed to him things from the future, he had to admit he didn't understand it. And look at Job's suffering. God tells him basically to mind your own business when he asked about why things happened to him. So that's the viewpoint of a traditional Jew. Worshiping God regardless, honoring God regardless, saying with Job, the Lord gave, the Lord took away. At the same time, these are fellow human beings who have frailty, weakness like everyone else. Let's pray that God would reveal himself in a powerful, life-changing way to these religious Jews in Israel in the midst of this crisis. Okay, what about the Passover season? What about God doing something in the midst of the Passover season? What about this being a time when there'll be a dramatic change that comes? Could it be? Now, it just so happens that my new book, written in an intensive 8-day period and borrowing some material from what I had written in the couple of weeks before that, my newest book will be out, God willing, on April 15th. And what is it? It is When the World Stops, Words of Faith, Hope, and Wisdom in the Midst of the Crisis. So I'm really hoping this will be a book that will minister to every one of you in the midst of crisis, in the midst of concern, in the midst of pandemic, as things turn at a certain point. Will it be weeks? Will it be months? There are lasting lessons God wants to teach us. There are lasting things that he wants us to get out of all of this. So, bottom line, right now, I'm thinking a lot about April 15th because of the book coming out, but I've been thinking a lot about April 15th for weeks now because there are some prophetic brothers. Some of you may recognize them as prophetic, some of you may not. That's perfectly fine. But they both pointed to some major things happening in the first months of this year. This was back last year or early this year that there would be shaking for several months, intense shaking of everything can be shaken, but that a shift would come, a major shift would come, a diminishing of the crisis, a major shift with the virus, the end of phase one and now phase two with a major shift, and that it would happen around April 15th or 16th because of the Passover season and because of the blood of the lamb. So big question is, what's going to happen? God hasn't spoken to me about that. God has not given me a word that April 15th or 16th, a major shift will come. The one thing I know is that that's the day my book's scheduled to come out, so I'm praying that God will minister to people. But But this is, I don't believe that the, if these are true prophetic words, they were prophesying that my book is coming out. That's going to be the big shift, okay? Even for me, that's beyond what I'm expecting faith-wise. I want God to use this book. But will God intervene? This is what we're praying. We're praying every day for intervention. Just read the report a couple days ago in one city in Michigan, Flint, Michigan. A bishop died, pastor died, elder died, all in the same city. And I think in same denomination, if I'm correct, but same city. Boom. We're praying every day for God to intervene, for God to work, for God to have mercy, for God to awaken the church, for God to stir the culture, to turn to God. We're praying for God's redemptive activity in the midst of this and for his mercy, 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 mercy. So let it be today. That would be even better. Let there be divine intervention today. But we shall see, will something tangible, something noticeable, something definite, something clear happen by April 15th, 16th? And will that be part of God getting attention? You say, what if nothing happens? What if everything goes on exactly the same? What will you say about those prophetic words? They were wrong. They were wrong. They were not true. And those that brought them because of the national level of this and spoke them on national platforms, those who did this, they're accountable. And leaders that work with them should hold them accountable. And the rest of the body, the charismatic body that believes in prophetic ministry today, should put a major question mark over other things that are said, because this is major. What if there's a shift, but it's like, how definite, clear? Well, then we have to just look at it and say, well, we can't really evaluate clearly. In other words, something did happen. The prophetic voices said something would happen, a shift, a diminishing, a second phase, but they didn't say that everything would stop on that day. But what if something really dramatic does happen? All right? What if something dramatic and unambiguous happens and, whoa, we look at that and we see the hand of God. That's when we say, look, God's been speaking. God's been speaking. Something's going on. He's getting our attention. He's acting. Turn to him. All right, just getting started. We will be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Welcome to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you have a Jewish-related question? You have a Jewish-related question of any kind. Doesn't have to relate to the current situation with virus or even Passover. Do you have a relevant Jewish question? Phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. Okay, before I go to the phones, very, very interesting situation in Israel. A few weeks ago, the health minister, who is an Orthodox Jew himself, Is it Yaakov Litzman? Is that his name? Yeah, Yaakov Litzman. When he was asked, what's the solution? This is the health minister of Israel. He was asked, what is the solution to the COVID-19 virus? And he said, we are praying and hoping that the Messiah will arrive before Passover, the time of our redemption. I'm sure that the Messiah will come and bring us out as God brought us out of Egypt. Soon we'll go out in freedom, and the Messiah will come and redeem us from all the troubles of the world. So picture, I want you to picture this, okay, that our Surgeon General gets up here in America. Dr. Anthony Fauci gets up here in America. Dr. Ben Carson, with his medical background, gets up. One of these people, extensive medical background, Sir, what is the solution to our problem? Well, we believe Jesus is going to come back by Easter. That's what we're believing for. I mean, can you picture what the reaction would be from the general public? And you talk about Trump getting attacked. That would be an attack beyond anything we've seen thus far. But this is what the health minister said. Now, again, Israel was jumping on this, was all over this in terms of quarantine early on. And Prime Minister Netanyahu used the word pandemic way before others were using it. So Israel's been on top of this and working hard. So it's not that the health minister is being irresponsible, but that's what he said. You know, the health minister, and we put the article up saying that Messiah will arrive before Passover, and that is the solution. right now, Yaakov Litzman has the virus himself. And he's quarantined. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be a miraculous answer by the 15th, 16th. I'm really looking to it. I'm hoping God does something. I'm hoping these prophetic words are true. And something happens that gets people's attention. And it ties in with the Passover and ties in with God turning back plagues and things like that. But I'm just saying that this is quite extraordinary. To hear this man who said, yeah, the Messiah will come and save us and deliver us from our problems. And because remember, in traditional Judaism, the belief is that the Messiah could be here among us, right? That he's not going to come in the clouds, but he's going to be a leader among us, so that this would be someone among us who will now reveal himself as Messiah to the Jewish world, to the Jewish people, okay? And yet, he now has the virus himself, this health minister. It's just one of these things that is different than anything I've lived through, different than anything I've seen affecting the whole world. I wrote an article right before radio about getting God's perspective on the virus and the crisis. And this is something that ties into the book that I wrote, When the World Stops, that God willing will be out on April 15th, Words of Faith, Hope, and Wisdom in the Midst of Crisis. You can't order it quite yet. It's not up on Amazon or anything like that. I'm just telling you so you can have a heads up. But one of the biggest things that I'm seeking to convey is that we as God's people need to grab hold of this moment and recognize that it's a unique time in history and you want it to count. You want to maximize it. So even in terms of what is the Spirit saying, and is he saying something in particular that ties in with Passover? All the more do we want to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. All right, we're going to try to go to the calls. We've had some technical problems in our studio. Hopefully everything is resolved, so we will give it a shot. Going to Canada, James, are you there?
Hello, Dr. Brown.
All right, I can hear you. You can hear me. That is great news. And let me just say this, folks. You know, we're just doing radio and broadcasting as normal, and I'm watching the screen with the communication between our two studios trying to troubleshoot problems and all that, just trying to focus and be on with the show. But anyway, James, we've been scrambling behind the scenes. So glad that we can hear each other. What's your question, sir?
First, before I ask my questions, let me say thank you so much for your ministry. I'm immensely grateful for it. You're such an encouragement to me.
Well, thank you. Glad that we're encouraging.
But before I ask my question, is it okay if I just quote a small portion from Matthew, just to contextualize my question?
Yep, sure.
Okay. From Matthew 24, Yeshua said, immediately after the troubles of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken loose. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the land will mourn when they see the sun coming. Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet blast and will gather his elect from the four winds, from one hand of heaven to the other. And then he goes on to talk about the fig tree, and then he says, no one knows when that day or hour will come, nor the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father, because just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. So, yep. So my question is regarding the phrase, no one knows when that day or hour will come. when Yeshua said that, was that a Jewish idiom referring to Rosh Hashanah? And
nope.
How the nation of Israel did not know when that feast would start unless the Sanhedrin declared the first day of the feast, depending on how the new moon appeared?
James, according to everything I know, that's an internet myth. I have looked up for the... First, I never heard it my entire life until recently. So that would raise an issue because I've been studying Matthew. I've been studying commentaries on Matthew. I've been studying Jewish background to Matthew. I have certain knowledge of Jewish literature. So I never heard it, number one. I then searched for that phrase every way I knew how in massive compendiums of traditional Jewish literature and did not find it with reference to Rosh Hashanah or anything like that. I scoured the leading commentaries, which I own, on Matthew, and looked to see if they had a reference to this. And these are people that know the background really well also. I found nothing. I consulted with rabbis, and none of them had ever heard of it. And to this day, have you ever seen someone with a reference to a specific rabbinic text anywhere, or have you just heard it?
There's a book called Signs in the Heavens written by Avi Ben Mordecai. That's the only reference that I've ever seen.
Right, and did he give like specific references? Here it is in the rabbinic literature?
No, he did not. It was his own thoughts.
Yeah, so, I mean, the fact is, I've run into a bunch of these internet myths. You know, for example, one of the internet myths is that there were several signs that God had given to the Jewish people and that as to how they would recognize the Messiah, including that he would heal someone born blind. So it was actually a very reputable person that I read that from, but I noticed there was no footnote to it. And people said, oh, yeah, that's... And in fact, probably even before the days of internet, that was going around. It's like, oh, yeah, that's... And I thought, oh, I never knew that. But, you know, rabbinic literature is called Yam HaTalmud, the Sea of the Talmud. Rabbinic literature is so massive that you could be studying for days and days and days and months and years and decades and... You're still wading through. There's just so much to learn. So I always think, oh, it just must be something I never learned or I never heard. You give the benefit of the doubt. But then when I dug and dug and dug and dug, I could never find this in ancient rabbinic literature anywhere. And then I went and looked at the person who had written it in a later edition of the book. They had pulled that part. It's like, ah, I guess you heard it through the grapevine and repeated it, and it actually wasn't true. So... Yeah, no evidence for that whatsoever. It means just what it says in context. And yeah, James, here's the deal. If you ever find someone citing this, okay, and saying, yeah, this is this, because a lot of people say, yeah, I heard this growing up. It's like, okay, then give me the source. If you ever see anyone giving an alleged source here in this code of law or here in this ancient rabbinic text, or here's something from the Dead Sea Scrolls, something like that, then please give us a call or just write to us and say, hey, I discovered it. But, you know, the truth is always so wonderful and beautiful and overwhelming and glorious. There's so much in there that we don't need the myths. You know, in fact, I'll say this last thing, James. Nancy and I were talking the other day, and she had watched a movie. I don't know which one it was, on Jesus. And she said, it was well done. She said, why do they have to change what's in the Bible? In other words, the biblical text as it is dramatic enough, and the stories are dramatic enough, and the narrative is compelling enough, and the characters are striking enough. Why do you need to change that when what's written there is totally compelling? You don't need Hollywood to improve it, fix it. It's better than what Hollywood's going to come up with. Stay with it. So same way to say there's enough glorious truth in Scripture, we don't need to add these other things to it. And if someone can ever come up with an ancient rabbinic source that proves me wrong on this, please, by all means, show it to me, and I'll share it with everyone and apologize for getting this wrong. But according to everything I know, internet myth. We'll be right back. Change the world.
God of birth. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, your moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire, everyone listening on our great radio stations around America, everyone watching online on Facebook and YouTube on the S. Dr. Brown pages, everyone listening by podcast, welcome to the broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted and blessed to be here with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, with any Jewish-related question you have. All right, before I go to the phones, when there is something very bad that happens to the world, you can expect that Jews will be blamed. Jews will be scapegoated. Now, sometimes Christians are scapegoated. You know, as Rome burned, Christians were blamed by Nero. And there was an editorial in the New York Times that I addressed in very strong terms last week, claiming that President Trump responded slowly to the virus because he's surrounded by non-science-believing evangelical leaders, and so we are the cause, evangelicals, evangelical leaders are the cause for the virus in America. I mean, a terribly irresponsible article, and with zero proof to back the claims. So there's been a lot of pushback against that, including from yours truly. But more often than not through history, Jews get blamed. It's the Jews, these evil Jews. The Jews, they're responsible. When the Black Plague ravaged Europe centuries ago, Jews died too, but not at the same percentage rate as non-Jews. One reason was because of biblical law and Jewish tradition that would have certain quarantining and certain health regulations and things like that. So they died, but not at the same percentage rate as non-Jews. And that means the Jews started this whole thing. Yeah, the Jews. It's always the group, the people. The Jews poisoned the wells. That's what they did. How did they do it? Well, they took the elements of communion and hearts of animals and things. They mixed it all together and they threw it in the wells and poisoned it. And that's what started it. And even though they died too. So no surprise whatsoever, no sooner do these things start taking place, and there's talk about pandemic and plague, as soon as that happens, like, the Jews are guilty. So there's an article, extensive article, on camera.org. You should check there regularly. This is the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting and Analysis. Ricky Hollander wrote this article, Blood Libels, Conspiracy Theories, and Coronaviruses. So it goes through history where Jews are blamed. You know, they kidnap a Christian child around Easter, and they drain its blood. And this is for Passover now. They drain its blood, and they use it now to make Passover matzah and stuff. I mean, this is still believed by people around the world today. So here's what's being said now about the coronavirus. So we're going to scroll down on this article. The COVID-19 pandemic currently engulfing the world, too, has been turned into a source for new anti-Jewish libels, coming primarily but not exclusively from the usual circles of anti-Semites. So last month, in Iraqi political analysis, Mohammed Sadiq al-Hashemi appeared on Iraq's Al-Ayam TV to proclaim the coronavirus, quote, an American and Jewish plot to reduce the world's population. Yeah, let's see. In Iran, similar claims are being publicized by so-called experts. Memory, which is a wonderful site to go, memory.tv, where you actually have clips played of these Muslim leaders around the world. You actually get to see. Here's preached in a mosque, and watch this from Gaza TV, Al-Aqsa TV, or something like that. It's shocking what's actually being said. So in Iran, similar claims are being publicized by so-called experts. Memory documents a discussion on Iranian TV suggesting that COVID-19 was actually produced in one of America's bioterrorism labs to target specific ethnic groups. Dr. Ali Karami, introduced as a lecturer in medicine, declares that in the Zionist regime, they work on bioterrorism agents that not only affect a certain ethnic group, that only infect a certain ethnic group, the Palestinians. Whoa. Turkish politician Faith Erbakan proclaimed in a speech that Zionism may be behind the coronavirus. that the virus serves Zionism's goals of decreasing the number of people, and that Zionism is a 5,000-year-old bacteria that has caused the suffering of people. And I'm just here. How about David Duke? David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, right? Was that his position? Notorious anti-Semite, and proudly so. David Duke, his tweet, does President Donald Trump have coronavirus? Are Israel and the global Zionist elite up to their old tricks? And he wrote this, we know the Mossad. I don't think there's any horrific act that they or the Israeli government wouldn't do if they thought it was going to advance their interest and they thought they could get away with it. Controlling the government, they think they can get away with about anything. I'm sure the Israeli government and Mossad has all sorts of ability to get control and get their hands on this virus and breed the virus and spread it around very safely. In fact, they can have somebody given the virus, somebody young enough that they wouldn't die so that they have immunity to it. They could spread it all over their hands. He can look like he's using a bottle of hand sanitizer. It could be full of virus for that matter. And the same thing could be done by Jewish agents in Iran because very suspiciously the Iranian government is having a huge epidemic and in their ruling party and their parliament. If they wanted to hurt Iran, it would be child's play for a number of agents of the Mossad to spread this around in Iran. They also have a problem with this in parts of Lebanon where they have the biggest enemy in Hezbollah. So think about it, folks. I mean, they have been known to do this. And there's page after page after page. It's a great article. Be sure you read it. Now, here's the real danger, friends. I'm not just reading this to say, isn't this crazy? I'm saying this because sick people, demented people, people with twisted views, with evil hearts, people believe this stuff by the thousand, by the million. In fact, just out of curiosity, let me see here. Let's just see on YouTube. I'm just going to check David Duke's channel as we're talking here, all right? And I think he's still on YouTube. Let's see, David Duke on YouTube, and he's putting out this type of absolutely horrific. Yeah, all right, maybe he doesn't have a channel anymore. I don't know, maybe he's been banned. But when he had a channel, it was much bigger than mine, much bigger than most Christian channels. A lot of people listen to this, and it doesn't take much when you believe the Jews are spreading the virus. Evil Israel is spreading the virus. Doesn't take much to start turning on the Jews, turning on Israel. It has happened through history. Communities were burned at the stake. Jewish families burned at the stake for allegedly committing some of these crimes and doing some of these dastardly things in centuries past. And let me say this last thing. I'm fully aware that Jews can play the anti-Semite card, just like blacks can play the racism card. It's very possible that people do this, right? And they overplay something. In other words, it's a legitimate issue, but you overplay it, all right? So I recognize as a Jew that Jews can do that, okay? But here's a real easy way to identify anti-Semitism. Real easy, okay? Let's say that you see a picture, or hear racism, all right? You see a picture of Bill Cosby. And now he's in jail for his crimes against women over the decades, right? If your first thought is, yeah, those blacks, then that's racist. It's absolutely racist. Is one man, okay, doing a particular thing that many whites have done and many people of different color background have done. They say, oh, that's black. The same thing with Jews. Well, Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, see, it's those Jews. It's the Jews. It is very, very easy to do that when you are a racist and when you are an anti-Semite. I'm just telling you, here's a good way to check your heart, okay? Here's a good way to check your heart. When you see a headline, when you see it, do you generalize and put people in these large categories? Something's wrong when you do that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to George in Switzerland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. I have a question that is a little bit similar to the brother from Canada. It's about this internet myth that I'm trying to find a source for this, although I have found this statement in some books or some websites from apparently good people, good teachers, and it is about the tabernacle or the temple of the Jews or of Israel. And they say like this: when Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, "I am the truth, the way, and the life," he's actually referring, supposedly, this is what they say, he's referring to a rabbinical tradition as well that said that the tabernacle or the temple, it had three entrances. The main one, I mean, the first one that takes you into the yard, that would be, they used to call it the truth. Then the other entrance that brings you into the holy place, they would call it the way. And then the one that takes you to the Holy of Holies would be named or called the life. And that's why they claim Jesus, when he used this sentence, all the Jews around him at that moment, they understood what he actually meant. Is there anything, do you know anything about that? Because I haven't been able to find any source for this.
Yes, sir. I've heard it the same way you've heard it. When I search for it online, certain things come up, but I have, first, same deal. I never heard about it my entire life. I never saw it in any commentaries on John. I never saw it in any books sharing the Jewish background to the New Testament. And there are compilations, sir, that have every possible related Jewish text, even if it's like 600 years after the New Testament from another country. It's like maybe the tradition went back earlier. In other words, maybe there's something preserved in the Babylonian Talmud that was written down around 400 years after the time of Jesus, but could possibly be repeating a tradition that was known in his day. In other words, it's going to have every possible related source, and I've never found any evidence for this, just like the other one. I'm looking in places online that are making the same claim, but I see no source for it. I see no actual reference. And sometimes when you find a reference, it's bogus. In other words, you go, I look at it, it's like, that's not even an accurate reference. It would be like saying John chapter 23, verse 41, when there are only 21 chapters in John. So it would be citing some rabbinic source, but the source is completely off. So it would be, ooh, music's so loud there. It would be a great teaching, a neat teaching, but sir, once again, like you, I have found zero confirmation to it to date. Keep looking.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. God bless you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So again, Passover, April 8th through 16th, Resurrection Sunday, April 12th. What's God doing at this time? President Trump saying, be great to have the churches filled. Easter Sunday, barring a miracle, that's not going to happen right now. But even more talk, more focus on it. When have you heard national focus on these dates like this? And then Israel, the health minister saying a Messiah is going to come and is going to redeem us. It's the health minister who now has the virus during Passover. And then different prophetic leaders saying there's going to be a shift April 15th, 16th. And on my end, I'm especially looking forward to this time where we can minister to even more people, because a book that I wrote during this crisis now is coming out. So from the day I got the idea of writing the book to the day the book could be in your hands or in ebook form, less than a month. Think of that. God's grace in that. But April 15th is when the book should come out, When the World Stops, Words of Faith, Hope, and Wisdom in the Midst of Crisis. Having said that, what do traditional Jews do? Passover is the number one family gathering time of the year, where families, extended families, come together and have the Passover Seder together. Now, I want to be totally candid with you. I have never, ever given you a false impression of my upbringing. I was raised in a fairly nominal Jewish home. So, yes, I was bar mitzvahed. Yes, I knew I'm Jewish and I don't believe the things these others believe. Yes, I would go to synagogue for the high holidays. And Passover, we would celebrate with different family and things like that. But I never really liked it. It wasn't like, oh, this is special. I'm just being 100% candid with you. Whereas for many Jews around the world, this is a real highlight. And for a very traditional family, there's a big ritual you go through. It's a major event. You search the house. You make it fun for the kids. You search by candle. You know, is there any leaven, any chametz, any of any kind, and get it out of the house. And what a certain product has leaven in it, you can't have that. And normally you have to burn it a certain way, dispose it. So some of the ultra-Orthodox rabbis are saying, okay, we can't do some of those things now. So you still search the house, but you can just like throw it in garbage and cover it, or you don't have to burn it because there's certain restrictions that are being put on the people. What about meeting? Can we meet together? Well, no, you can't. Family, obviously, is living in the same home, but families can't come together, extended families, for the Passover, barring divine intervention. So in the religious but not as religious settings, you can use Zoom or social media. So you can all do it together. Hey, like I did one class earlier today. It would have been in Orlando, a class I would have been teaching, but I did it by Zoom. As soon as this is over, I'm going to Zoom and do a Zoom over to my other room and do a Zoom meeting with students in Hawaii at a Bible school. So can we do that with social media and be together for Passover? So the less traditional rabbis, but still religious, have said, yes, we're going to relax the rule because it's a holy day. The Passover Seder, these days are considered holy, so they are Sabbaths. So one thing, you can't use electricity. You don't get online. You don't do anything like that on the Sabbath. So some of them are saying, okay, this is exceptional. If you've been in a situation like this, you can use social media. And then others, the most religious, saying, no, not, you're just going to have to deal with it. And what if you're alone? What if it's just you and your spouse, or just you, or sorry. So that's the world right now. And remember, the Passover regulations are given with great detail in the Bible. And when you have the account in Numbers 9, where certain Israelites, they were unclean, well, can they still partake? No, we'll have another Passover a month later. And so this stuff mattered. And now with all the tradition, it gets added on, hence this unique situation in the traditional Jewish world. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. And let us go to Carmen in Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Carmen, are you there? Anybody home?
Yes, Dr. Brown.
Ah, okay, go ahead.
We had traveling to Israel with you last year. And so I'm more aware of the community, the Hasidic community in Jerusalem and their mm-hmm. lifestyle.
Yeah.
I'm concerned for the ultra-Orthodox folks here and how they're going to make it through this time mm-hmm. with their communities being so tight-knit.
Yeah, and Carmen, I talked about this right at the beginning of the broadcast. I know some of our Texas stations pick us up at the bottom of the hour, but that's what I talked about right at the beginning of the broadcast. One, that the rate of infections among the very religious in Israel are much higher than the populace as a whole. So let's say the ultra-Orthodox make up about 12% of the population. They're making up between 40 and 50% of the infections. So there are two main reasons for that. One, there are large communities living in close proximity and doing everything together. The men are praying together, studying together. You've got tons of little kids together. So it just makes it a nightmare for potential infection. So many people often living in sub-poverty housing and things like that, because that's just not what they're concentrating on. So large numbers of people in small settings, and then so many gatherings, you know. Look, I pray alone every day. I don't pray with a group every day. But if you're a traditional Jew, you're praying in the synagogue, and you're praying several times a day with other men, and then you're learning. You're studying in yeshiva or kollel, and so you're studying all day, you're studying all night, so you're together. So that's one thing. So before you even know what's happening, a lot more people could be infected. The other thing is, that some of the communities have been resistant to the government because they look with hostility towards the government. They look at it as secular, in some cases even illegitimate. There have been conflicts going back decades over the founding of the State of Israel and the rights of the religious and so on and so forth. So because of that, some of them have been defying the bans. And for example, in B'nai Brak, which is outside of Tel Aviv, ultra-Orthodox part of the city, it's not a 100% shutdown that you can't get in and out, but largely things have been shut down there because of the high rate of infection. So it's definitely a traumatic time for traditional Jews in Israel. And again, this is an important time for us to be praying and crying out to God. I just wrote an article about this that should go live later today or tomorrow about getting God's perspective on the virus. And then that ties in with chapters in my book that'll come out April 15th, God willing, When the World Stops. And Carmen, in the midst of this, you hate to see the suffering, the pain, the upheaval, the calamities. It's touching everyone from Christians to Jews to atheists to Muslims to you name it. People are being affected by this. But God's not in a panic. And we can have a burden and be concerned, but God's not in a panic over this. And therefore, our hearts burn to see God glorified through this. Hey, one question for you, Carmen. How did the trip to Israel affect you? What impact did it have on you that you can now look back on a year later?
I would say that it gave me great context. When I read the Bible, I can visualize those places we were able to see. And it gave me, I already had a great love for the Jews, but it just really just brought it home to me. And it more personalized, put a face on it for me. So it really changed my life.
Praise God.
I would recommend it to anybody. If you ever get a chance to go with Dr. Brown, please go.
All right. Thanks for the recommendation, Carmen. Our next trip is scheduled for May. If we cannot do it in May, then we will have dates locked in later in the year for the trip, in case any seats open up, but God willing, we'll do it in the future. Thank you. Michael in California, time is super short, but if you can ask a short question, I'll give you a short answer. Are you there?
Oh, hello.
Yeah, go ahead. If you got a quick question, please ask.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to say me and my mom are big fans of you, and I watch almost all your debates. But my question is, It's about the coronavirus. I was just wondering, in John 17, Jesus said that we shouldn't pray for the world. And my question was, should we pray for the world if Jesus didn't? And why? It's a two-part question. Ah. Why did God put the coronavirus?
So Michael, I'm going to, I apologize for interrupting, and so glad to hear about you and your mom. Thank you. Okay. Jesus is praying a specific prayer there for believers. All right? But 1 Timothy 2 tells us that we should pray for everybody. We should pray for kings, for rulers, for because God wants all men to be saved, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. So we should absolutely be praying for everyone. YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown, ASK Dr. Brown on YouTube. We've posted a video about, in fact, probably later today, it will go up. But if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you'll know about it. You know, how to pray for the world during pandemic. So pray for mercy. Pray for divine intervention. We don't know ultimately how this virus came about. Is it an attack from Satan? Is it judgment from God? Is it the result of human beings? Is it something natural? But God's working through it. So pray good prayers for people. God, be merciful to this world. God, open up hearts and minds. God, turn people to you. May this be a time of awakening in the church and in the world. Of course we pray for the world. We are the priests. We are the intercessors. The world needs our prayers. So may the Lord hear you as you cry out. Back with you tomorrow. You've got questions. We've got answers. Stay safe.